Welcome to Brighton Broadcast News from Monday, December 11th, 2023. Mike Adams here. Thank you for joining me today. The working title for this podcast is Alex Jones Reinstated on Twitter as Powerful Deep Intelligence Networks Prepare to Reinstate Trump to Keep America Alive. Now, this title may change by the time you see this, but that last phrase is really critical to understanding this, to keep America alive. And what I'm going to reveal to you today here in this analysis is that the reinstatement of Alex Jones on Twitter is no accident, and it has much larger implications than what most people imagine, because it coincides with Elon Musk, the military, well, what I call deep intelligence networks, and how they are now supporting Elon Musk, and they are supporting Tucker Carlson. Elon is supporting Tucker through his broadcast and so on. And they're also preparing to put Trump back into office for a third term. And that's not a typo. This would be Trump's third term, not his second term, although the second term was illegally occupied and overwritten by the anti-American Biden regime. And I want to explain this right up front, and then I'll go into more detail in this podcast. But there are essentially two factions battling for control over America right now. There is, on one hand, the globalist faction, which is characterized by Barack Obama, Joe Biden, anti-American sentiment. The globalism control grid is working to destroy America's infrastructure, destroy America's currency. There are actually people inside the Biden administration who are trying to collapse the dollar, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, by the way. They want to make America dependent on energy from the Middle East. They want to destroy America's culture. They want to destroy America's Constitution. They are anti-First Amendment, anti-Second Amendment. And effectively, they're anti-military in the sense that they also want to destroy America's military readiness, which they have done to a great extent at this point. I mean, look at what happened with America's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And now, by the way, a major factor playing into all of this is the defeat of NATO by Russia, which I'll talk about in more detail. So that's the first faction. That's the globalist faction. Again, they believe in depopulation. They despise everything America stands for, and they are working meticulously to take America down from within. Now, on the other side is the pro-America faction, which I want to be clear is still run by very powerful corporate interests, but they want to see America maintain its power over the world because, well, it's such a great gig. It's a great system to have the petrodollar status and to be able to just print money and trade money for goods and services around the world. You know, it's great to be near the top of the U.S. military when it's the most well-funded military in the world. It's great to get kickbacks from weapons for Ukraine and other kinds of contracts that the federal government is issuing left and right. Now, this faction, which I call the pro-America faction, they want to see America still survive on the world stage. So even though they oppose the globalist faction, the pro-America faction still enjoys power and profits, and they love money printing, and they also have their fingers in the pharmaceutical cartels and in the media and so on. They're not, let's say, white hats, but they're also not the black hats of the globalists who are trying to destroy us all. What you could say is that the pro-America faction, which really consists of what I call deep intelligence networks, I'm not talking about the CIA, I'm talking about military intelligence, certain factions inside Defense Intelligence Agency, and some other groups, even a few sort of renegades inside the FBI. These deep intelligence networks, they don't want to see America destroyed, and they don't want to see America's military destroyed. So they have now gained the upper hand internally due to the catastrophic failures of the globalist faction and the Biden administration. And even though it's not obvious on the surface, the number one most astonishing failure that has taken place that has actually handed power over to the military intelligence faction, you could say, or the pro-America faction, is the defeat of NATO in Ukraine. This is sending shockwaves throughout the system that the United States military could not defeat Russia, and that they had to use the Western media to push out all kinds of propaganda and lies month after month, even now quickly approaching 2 years on, just to try to cover their failures. And their failures have been absolutely monumental. The sanction failures against Russia absolutely failed. Russia's economy is stronger than it was before the war. Russia's currency is more resilient. Russia's energy exports have reached record numbers. Russia has now record munitions manufacturing domestically, and Russia has built a massive domestic munitions manufacturing infrastructure that is utterly unmatched by all of Western Europe, as well as the United States. So the pro-America military intelligence faction, which is pro-Trump and pro-Elon Musk, and also, by the way, I believe worked to get Alex Jones reinstated, this faction got so fed up with America being defeated by the incompetent, historically illiterate morons in the Biden administration, including the State Department, that they began a revolt from within that has now established control over key nodes of influence and decision-making. You could call it executive decision-making inside the intelligence networks, that now gives them the upper hand to defeat the globalists and quite literally reinstall Trump back into office beginning in 2025. And then Trump would repay the favor by, of course, expressing his loyalties for additional funding for the military-industrial complex, intelligence networks, pharmaceuticals, domestic energy, and so much more. So let me be clear about this, because this is not a black and white scenario. And I'm trying not to insert my own opinions into this. I'm trying not to say that Trump is good or Trump is bad, but rather just tell you cause and effect here. So Trump supports big pharma, big war, big banks, and also you could say big Israel, which is the Zionist contingent of Israel, which also helps support military wars in the Middle East. Trump is all in on all these things, whether you like it or not. But he also supports domestic energy, which I think is good for America to have our own energy supply and our own energy infrastructure, so we are more self-reliant in that way. But Trump also supports massive money printing and artificially low interest rates in order to cause excess money creation or quantitative easing that ends up pumping up the stock market, pumping up real estate prices, causing inflation, and making things temporarily look good from a fiscal point of view. On top of that, Trump will, as president again, Trump will approve massive payments to the military. We're talking about over $1 trillion a year in funding for the U.S. military. Trump will also support massive handouts to the pharmaceutical giants because they are backing him in certain ways, I believe, in order to make sure he gets elected again. Whereas right now, the Biden administration is talking about using government powers to seize the intellectual property of patented pharmaceuticals, taking them away from the drug companies, and then essentially eminent domain for drug patents, and then licensing those patents to OEM manufacturers or third-party manufacturers who would manufacture those drugs very cheaply, which the government would then purchase in order to dispense those drugs through Medicare and ultimately state-level Medicaid programs. So that threat right there, from the point of view of Big Pharma, is an existential threat to the very profit model of the pharmaceutical industrial complex, you could say. Big Pharma makes most of its money, the giants do, off of just a few key drugs. And usually for just a few years while those drugs are on patent, because all patents expire. And so a typical drug company might have 200 drugs in the pipeline, knowing that 190 of them are going to fail. That leaves 10 drugs, let's say, that are viable in the marketplace. And out of those 10, 8 of them will just do so-so, and they might have one or two blockbuster drugs that generate all the profits that covers for the losses of all the other failed drugs. Well, those one or two drugs now, those are the ones that the Biden administration wants to seize, thereby denying Big Pharma that revenue stream, that windfall that they count on in order to maintain profitability. This is why even Pfizer right now is reducing production of COVID vaccines and actually laying off many people in certain divisions of the company. Big Pharma needs, you could say, a new shot in the arm. Sorry for the metaphor, but they need a new shot of adrenaline. And Trump is exactly the person that they believe will enable them to do that, because Trump will be all in for fast-tracking drugs, fast-tracking vaccines, and responding to upcoming pandemics in a way that favors the bottom-line profits of pharmaceutical companies. Now, you might ask, why then is Alex Jones reinstated on Twitter? And what does Elon Musk have to do with all of this? Well, Elon Musk is deeply involved in research projects for the military, many experimental projects, which are exotic weapon systems, exotic launch systems, exotic optical systems, and of course, Neuralink systems, which is a human brain interface, both surveillance and active motor control systems. The United States military knows that the future of warfare is going to very heavily involve drones and automated systems. And we'll talk about AI coming up here in a little bit. But part of the answer here is also going to be cyborg systems. Now, if you thought that Elon Musk was developing Neuralink because he wants to help wheelchair-bound people walk again, and that that's his sole driver because he's just a good person and wants to help people get their legs back, then, sadly, you're a fool. This is not about helping wheelchair-bound people walk again, although that may be a side effect of it. But the real aim here is to build cyborg soldiers. Cyborg soldiers will be augmented with exoskeleton systems as well as actual mind-controlled drones. So automated drones, both airborne as well as ground-based drones. They could be in the format of dogs or squirrels, like I said in an earlier podcast. These will be at the control of the cyborg soldier, which will be a very effective fighting machine because it will have the mind-machine interface, which is what Neuralink is all about. It's designed to allow soldiers to control kinetic systems and autonomous systems without having to learn a computer interface. Soldiers don't have time to pull up a screen and choose a drop-down menu and issue commands, and they don't have keyboards handy. And trying to put those kinds of interface systems on a soldier really doesn't work very well. It's not feasible. Those interface systems, number one, they get blown apart due to shrapnel and so on. Even if you strap a keyboard or a display to a soldier's arm, well, that arm is probably going to take some hits at some point, and then your whole system is down. But secondly, soldiers, I'm sorry to say this, but the new recruits are not as smart as they used to be. The military services are having more and more difficulty recruiting young soldiers, and so they are dropping IQ requirements. For some sectors of military service, you don't even have to really pass tests anymore. You just have to have a beating heart and a body that functions and be willing to be trained. And so for these less sophisticated soldiers, in order to be outfitted with cyborg systems, which is the ultimate goal, they need to have systems that are simply more intuitive and less technical. And there's nothing more intuitive than just thinking about what you want to do. If you're a cyborg soldier, even if you're a low IQ cyborg soldier, but you're a dedicated soldier and you're a loyal soldier, then with a Neuralink implant, all you have to do is think about sending a kamikaze drone dog into the enemy bunker that your augmented infrared system has identified. You just issue the go command mentally, and you don't have to learn an interface. So this will enable the cyborg augmentation systems to be more widely available to less qualified human soldiers. And of course, ultimately, the goal of this entire program is to replace the human element and to transition from cyborg soldiers into fully automated humanoid robotic soldiers that don't even have to be trained to think at all because they're just programmed and uploaded with autonomous systems. So what does this have to do with Elon Musk and Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and Donald Trump? Well, everything. It's simple. In order for the United States to remain viable in terms of its military projection around the world, it needs to develop more autonomous drone systems and cyborg systems. It needs to become a world leader in AI and also Neuralink implants, as well as other key technologies such as hypersonic missiles, which, by the way, AI systems can help theoretically develop. Elon Musk is seen as a key gatekeeper in this quest for applied technology. Now, Elon Musk is not the world's most brilliant theoretical scientist himself, but he's very, very good at applying science into practical matters. He's a translator of theory into practice, and he's proven this with his satellite systems, with his rocket launch systems, and his rocket recovery landing systems, as well as Tesla vehicles. Elon, perhaps, it might be argued, gets more credit than he deserves, but on the other hand, he does deserve a tremendous amount of recognition for being an aggregator of technologies into practical deployment. And that's what the military is missing right now, and that's what they need. So I believe a deal has been made between the deep military intelligence networks and Elon Musk. And this deal involves the reinstatement of Trump, and Tucker Carlson was activated on Twitter in order to help bring back Trump by going full tilt at the fascist Biden regime and the loser leftists who are losing our wars in Ukraine and potentially in the Middle East and certainly coming soon in Taiwan. In other words, Elon Musk has been given a green light to activate anybody that he thinks is necessary to help turn the tide against the anti-Trump rhetoric that's out there, and to expose the truth about how much the Democrats have been destroying America on purpose in order to reinstate Trump as president, which would require a massive flood of voter support for Trump. And for this reason, I believe, Alex Jones has been reinstated. Alex Jones, number one, I should say, Alex deserves to be reinstated. He never should have been banned. Alex has been more right than almost every person in the mainstream media for decades. And so many things that Alex warned about have come true, and we're now living through those things, so he deserves tremendous credit. He was banned because they wanted to shut him up in order to rig the election in 2020. I was banned for much the same reason. In fact, I was banned in, I think, 2015, if not 2014. I was deplatformed before Alex Jones. But after Elon Musk purchased Twitter, my account was reactivated, although it is still very heavily shadow banned, and I expect that to be reversed sometime soon. But also, by the way, Brighteon.com links are not allowed to be shared on Twitter, and I certainly hope that is corrected soon as well. Because Elon Musk is going to need all the help that he can get to educate America about what's really happening, and to get the American people ready to ditch the Democrats and to bring in somebody different. And the only viable candidate on the GOP side right now is Donald J. Trump. There is no other candidate. So ditching the Democrats really means supporting Trump, other than the fact that there are a couple of independent candidates who I think have valuable ideas to share, such as Dr. Shiva, and some people really like RFK Jr. as well. But in a practical sense, independent candidates rarely have a shot at winning the White House. It's almost impossible for that to happen. Sometimes they can serve as spoilers by denying the White House to one of the other primary candidates, you know, the Democrat or the Republican, but rarely does an independent ever get elected to any large position, although they can still contribute a lot to the debates and to the overall dynamic of the election. So again, Elon Musk was given a green light to reinstate people like Alex Jones. And I believe that you're going to see Alex talking very favorably about the defense of America, which is a very important concept, and I agree with that concept. We need to keep America alive. And the importance of shoring up America's military might in order to protect our borders and to make sure that we don't lose wars overseas, which is what's happening right now. Now, Alex Jones has sharply criticized Trump in the past, and I've been critical of Trump as well on several issues, such as Operation Warp Speed. But when push comes to shove, most people who are aware of what's going on, if given a simple choice between Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump, if those are the only options, the choice is crystal clear. It's Trump all the way. No person in their right mind would vote for Joe Biden. And I think that the military intelligence linked deep intelligence networks, as I call them, are very much aware of this. Now, shoring up the U.S. military and making it competitive in the world is going to take a lot of money. Trump will be willing to support insane levels of money printing, as he did during his first administration. So we're talking about trillions of dollars being printed. But Trump may also be able to restore relationships with the Saudis and the United Arab Emirates, both of which are turning away from the petrodollar currently, which will have catastrophic effects on the role of the dollar on the world stage. If Trump can reverse that and bring the Saudis back in line with the petrodollar, then he could really extend the lifespan of the dollar itself, because the dollar is currently on life support thanks to the catastrophic, disastrous policies of the Biden administration. Well, Trump is, in essence, being brought in as a kind of combat field medic for the dollar to patch it up, stop the bleed, and bring the dollar back into viability so that more money can be printed to hand it over to the military-industrial complex to work on more exotic weapon systems, such as, again, autonomous drones, cyborg interface systems, human-machine systems, hypersonic missiles, and also exotic space weapons through Space Force. So this is why Tucker Carlson was brought onto Twitter. This is why Alex Jones is being reinstated. This is probably why I was reinstated, although I probably haven't followed maybe the path that some of these people wanted me to follow, but I do admit that at the end of the day, if it comes down to Biden versus Trump, there's no question I'm on Team Trump at that point. Even though I have been extremely critical of some of Trump's decisions, I would much rather live in a world where America still exists rather than a world where we're overrun by globalists and we're under UN control and we've lost our Constitution. And that's why I say this is a very complex issue for all of us, including you listening to this. You're not going to get a perfect candidate. And more importantly, you're really never going to have the freedom that you think you deserve. You're never going to have an honest money system under the American empire. You're never going to have a president that tells the truth about the dangers of vaccines. You're never going to have a president that stops the money printing machine and returns to a gold-backed monetary standard. These things are simply not going to happen. Not until the whole system collapses and there's a reset and there's a rebuilding of a future system. But under this current system, none of those things will happen. But we may be able to keep America on life support for a few more years to come rather than seeing its collapse in the very near future, which is exactly where Barack Obama and Joe Biden are pushing us. And arguably, it's to our benefit to keep America alive, even if we don't get everything we want. And by the way, one of the best ways to wake people up to what has been happening in the world and to the horrors of the Biden administration is to reinstate voices like Alex Jones. Because InfoWars is a very viable platform that has many great producers, writers, and hosts, such as Owen Schroyer and Harrison Smith and others, who are every single day reporting extremely important truths that can red pill people. And these truths can make the difference in the election now, just as they did in the 2016 election. And although I haven't had any private conversation with Alex on these matters, I would imagine that in his mind, he's going through some of the same thinking that I'm demonstrating here, which is that at the end of the day, do we want America to remain alive? Do we want America to exist? Do we want to have a constitution? Or do we want to be overrun by globalists and depopulation fascists and just lose our entire country? And if you want America to exist right now, then it turns out you're going to end up on the pro-America faction, which is the military-industrial complex, the Team Trump, which is all tied into big banks and big pharma. That's just where you're going to land. It's kind of like, in one sense, being a resident of a federal prison. And if you're a prisoner there, in order to survive, you can't be by yourself. You have to be part of a gang. You have to join some gang. And I don't know much about prison gangs other than what I've seen on movies and such, but I would imagine there are gangs like skinhead gangs and probably like Black Panther gangs and Latino gangs like MS-13 and maybe some other gangs that I'm not aware of. But if you're not on one of these gangs, you're dead. And right now in America, as a voter, we're kind of like a prisoner. And as a voter, you're either going to be on Team Globalist or Team America, and you don't get to pick and choose all the properties of the team that you're on. If you're on Team Globalist, then you support depopulation and shutting down the energy infrastructure and transgenderism and Satanism and all that nonsense. Whereas if you're on Team America, i.e. the military intelligence pro-Trump faction that I've been describing here, that faction is all tied into big business, which necessarily involves big pharma, big banks, big military weapons systems, money printing, you know, stock market bubbles and all of that. I'm just stating this as a matter of fact, even reluctantly stating this. I'm not saying that I'm thrilled about every property of this faction, but it is what it is. It's the only pro-America faction that has a shot. Now, there's one more important topic to cover here, which is the open borders invasion of America, which is a kind of American Nakba, where America is being occupied and invaded in order for it to be overthrown. Now, that entire operation is a globalist operation to overrun and overthrow America. If you want to stop that activity, then you're going to end up on Team America, or effectively Team Trump. Now, Trump promises to turn America into essentially a battlefield of rounding up illegals and processing them through migrant camps and then kicking them out of the country. I've previously expressed some concerns over what that would do to the civil liberties of all of us, including Americans who would be required to show our papers everywhere, because we would probably have immigration police all over the streets and cities and neighborhoods just rounding people up and arresting them. And I'm very, very concerned about what that would look like. I'm very concerned, especially about those who appear to be Asian or Latino or, you know, anything other than, let's say, you know, Caucasian people. I'm concerned about people who might look Somali or people who are Muslims and so on, who still are outstanding Americans and very, very patriotic to America, regardless of their skin color or their religion. So I would be a voice that would express a lot of reservation about what Trump might be doing in that way. Nevertheless, clearly something must be done to save America from this invasion and occupation. And I don't have all the answers of what that's supposed to look like, other than I know we need to build a wall and we need to secure the border. And if we have to use the military to secure the border, I'm all in favor of that. In fact, I've criticized the Biden administration for using the military to secure the borders of Ukraine and Israel, but doing nothing to secure America's borders. So I would absolutely support Trump securing America's borders with the military. What I'm opposed to is the military operating domestically and the rounding up of people without due process and without a merit-based system. And I'm not going to go into details of all that here, just to say that if Trump is elected, this is very likely something that we're all going to be living through, which is the American people, or the current occupants or residents in North America, in many ways turning on each other. There could be government rewards for ratting out illegals that might live next door, for example. And I shudder to think at how this will divide America and lead to a less safe society, even though at the same time I acknowledge that we have to do something to get the criminals, drug traffickers, child traffickers, rapists, and other violent criminals who are illegals out of this country. Again, I don't know the right answer to this. I just have a large number of reservations about the way Trump would approach this. Nevertheless, having Trump running some version of this is certainly much better than allowing us to continue to be overrun and invaded, which is the Biden plan. In fact, that's the Democrat plan. That's the globalist plan. The bottom line here, again, this whole broadcast today, this is not black and white. You're going to live through some things that are going to be horrible. You're not going to get what you want. Even if you think Trump is a champion for America, when Trump is elected, there are going to be policies that you will find rather horrifying that will probably be put into play. This is the cost of keeping our country intact in the face of a determined globalist effort to literally destroy America from within. And so this is just something that we're all going to have to figure out how to navigate with our humanity intact, with our ethics intact, with our communities intact. And again, I don't know the right answers to all of this. I just hope and pray that we can all maintain compassion for fellow human beings while also maintaining safety for our homes, our families, and our communities, and our nation at the same time. And maybe that's impossible to do both of those things, but I hope we at least strive to find a balance in that equation. Now, when it comes to military weapons development and military domination power over the world, we have to talk about artificial intelligence. And I have some really important inside information to share with you here, none of which in any way compromises national security, just to be clear. I have been told things like that in the past, and I've kept them private. And I should disclose up front, I'm working on an AI large language model project right now, which will be released open source, free to the public. The current release date is estimated to be the end of March 2024. And this will be a conversational chatbot LLM that will allow you to ask questions in specialty areas such as nutrition, healing foods, disease prevention using phytonutrients, as well as good knowledge on agriculture and food self-reliance, growing your own food, sprouting, things like that. It will also cover indigenous medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, naturopathic modalities, and complementary medicine. But I will state that I'm the outlier in the AI space. Nobody else on the planet that I'm aware of is working on those things that I just mentioned. We're the only ones. Why? Well, because there's no money in teaching people how to be healthy and how to grow their own food. The real money comes from war, as we've witnessed over the last couple of years with all the money being shelled out for Ukraine and then now Israel and upcoming for Taiwan and any other conflicts that might be created by the U.S. empire. The money is in war, but also the power is in war. And right now, today, the United States of America finds itself sitting on a lot of outdated weapons. The nuclear arsenal of America is decades out of date. America's hypersonic missile programs have been shut down. They've never gone into actual development or deployment, unlike Russia, which has its Kinzhal missile that has been deployed in this conflict with Ukraine. The U.S. is way behind on many systems, such as ship-based laser engagement systems, as well as drone development, not to mention railguns and other exotic systems. So the U.S. needs to take a quantum leap in the development of its weapon systems. It turns out that the most important way to do that now is to build better AI systems, not to simply hire more capable human engineers that can understand physics and lasers and chemistry and cooling systems, but rather to build better AI systems that can simulate physics and simulate chemistry and simulate battles, and they can work out these problems for themselves and then hand you solutions that might have taken human engineers years or decades to come up with. In other words, the focus on AI now in the United States military is dominating the research and design of certain sectors of the military. Let me give you some additional information. Again, nothing that would compromise national security, but just some things that you need to know. And in order to understand this, you need to know about the term AlphaGo. AlphaGo was an AI system developed by DeepMind many years ago. And AlphaGo was taught to play the game Go, which is a very simple game to learn, but very sophisticated game to play. It's a little board game. But DeepMind was taught to play AlphaGo at such a high level that it beat the best masters in the world, the grand champions of Go. And the way that this was achieved is really critical to understand, because this tells you everything you need to know about AI and military weapons development. At first, AlphaGo was developed by programmers who taught the system to mimic the actions of really good human players. So they would get logs of human games, and they would feed these sequences into the system. The system would study them, and it would embed them using neural network programming, or deep learning, as it's sometimes known. I know those terms aren't synonymous, but close enough for this podcast. And over time, then, in the same way that a large language model can learn to speak in ways that make a lot of sense, or to generate text that seems rather brilliant, the AlphaGo system was able to mimic the best human players and to be competitive with other humans. However, this did not allow the AlphaGo system to beat the best human players. That quantum leap was accomplished through another method. It was by allowing two systems, both AI systems, playing AlphaGo against each other to iterate their progress and to develop new strategies, and then to pick the best ones and use those to help update the gradient vectors in the parameters database of the neural networks. And this allowed the AlphaGo system to, over time, through many millions of iterations of playing other AI systems through simulated games, it allowed the AlphaGo system to vastly surpass the capabilities of any human player on planet Earth. And then this was demonstrated a few years back, I think around 2017 or so, they were able to demonstrate that this AlphaGo system could beat essentially any human player. In fact, it wasn't even close. The intelligence, you could say, of the AI system that trained against other AI systems far surpassed the intelligence of any human player. Now, once you understand that concept of AI versus AI iterative, rapid-paced feedback loops, then it's not much of a leap to realize that the United States military is, of course, running simulations of battlefields. And they have simulation software for every piece of equipment on the battlefield, M777 artillery, you know, HIMARS systems, Abrams tanks, Humvees or infantry fighting vehicles, all kinds of aircraft, all kinds of drones, all kinds of naval vessels, you name it. They have simulations in software that can play out battles on a simulated physical battlefield. And these battles are pretty easy to score because you can assign negative points for the destruction or loss of hardware equipment or the loss of men. And you can assign positive points for gaining ground or controlling key pieces of ground in a specific theater of war. Now, what's happening is that inside these simulations, AI systems are being tried out as pilots of the vehicles. So it's not just an Abrams tank that's following some scripted behavior path. It's actually an Abrams tank simulation inside the Pentagon's battlefield simulator, where that Abrams tank is being driven by an AI pilot. I'm calling it a pilot because that's the appropriate term, but you could call it an agent or whatever you want. It's an AI pilot that is learning to win battles in the same way that the AlphaGo DeepMind system was learning to beat human players at Go. And what's happening right now is that there are massive server farms of AI systems with GPUs from NVIDIA mostly that have been set up in certain super secret locations, I'm sure, across America that are running war simulations and running AI pilot scripts with the ultimate goal of allowing AI pilots to quite literally operate these vehicles on the physical real world battlefield once they achieve a high enough aptitude. And it is believed that this would give the United States military an outright deadly advantage or dominating advantage over the Russian military or the Chinese military or any other military in the world, because instead of having human beings and the slow response cycles of humans that are making decisions and communicating slowly via radios and the spoken word and so on, you would actually have AI systems controlling most of the major vehicles and weapon systems in the theater of war, including the drones, not just for surveillance, but for choosing targets and attacking those targets. And thus, AI development is seen as the quantum leap in weapons technology for the United States military that would give it the same kind of advantage over human armies that DeepMind had over human players of the game Go. And I think that's a viable conclusion. There's no question that these AI pilots are going to be incredibly capable of maneuvering vehicles and picking targets and responding and reinforcing each other and taking advantage of all kinds of patterns that they've learned in millions of hours of computer simulations. Of course, these AI systems won't be able to get out and fix a broken track or refuel the tank or things like that. So there will always be humans in the loop. But at some point, the human soldiers just become the grunts that are ordered by the AI systems to take care of the physical maintenance and physical supply needs that AI systems themselves can't do, because you can't carry a 5-gallon jug of diesel when you're just a piece of software. Now then, that's just the beginning of what the U.S. military no doubt plans to do with AI, because I'm running an AI project right now. It's relatively simple compared to what the military is doing. But if I were running the military AI research department, what I would do is I would build a physics simulator that was really good at running the real-time consequences of all kinds of physics, from thermodynamics to chemistry to expansion and contraction of materials based on their thermal coefficients and so on. And I would use this AI system to develop exotic materials and exotic weapon systems. For example, if I were building a railgun, and the U.S. Navy is working on railguns because they have huge advantages over the typical shells that are fired out of naval guns. Well, I would be very concerned about the cycling rate of those railguns, because I know that the cycling rate, i.e. how many rounds you can fire per minute, is largely based on how quickly you can dump heat out of the system that powers the projectile. So heat dissipation is your number one problem there. So I would run AI physics simulators trying out millions of different varieties of heat dissipation systems, different liquids, you know, different materials, different forced air or forced liquid heat dissipation techniques. I would try everything that I could possibly think of for heat dissipation there and let the AI simulator run millions of tryouts and tell me what the best answer is, and then I would use that to build the system. In a similar fashion, if I were building laser weapon systems, you also have a heat dump problem, but you also have a problem with laser systems of increasing the optical density of the coherent light in a way that doesn't melt your components on the way out, basically. So you need some very advanced optical components, and especially the laser generation components themselves that can sustain high demand laser light production without overheating. And I don't mean cyclical lasers that operate with a frequency of on and off. You know, typical lasers have to go on and off sometimes thousands of times a second in order to not melt down. I'm talking about components that could just stay on for 2 or 3 seconds and melt a hole in the enemy's ship hull, for example. Just constant laser power, which would not allow time for the target to cool or to dissipate heat. And this would require some rather exotic components, and again, also heat dissipation systems, electronic control systems, monitoring systems, and so on. So instead of trying to design all this from the human perspective, I would put AI systems in charge of all kinds of designs of components, and I would build a physics simulator that would allow all these different ideas to play out inside the computer using essentially GPU supercomputer systems that can give me answers in weeks instead of decades. And I have no doubt that the U.S. military is probably doing that right now. I don't have any concrete proof or evidence that they are, but they'd be crazy not to, right? It's kind of obvious. Now, another area where this has huge implications is, of course, in bioweapons and chemical weapons development. So when it comes to things like protein folding algorithms, AI systems are very, very good. You can give an AI system a problem to solve, or let's say organ receptor sites to target for medical purposes. You can say, hey, I'm trying to derive a drug that can be, let's say, an ACE2 inhibitor, you know, maybe to try to block SARS-CoV-2 or something. And you can let the simulation run free on protein folding and using some base molecules, or you can give it different lengths of the protein chains and so on. And protein folding is a very complex mathematical problem, by the way. And if you were to try every combination of protein folding that's possible, even on just one long molecule, it would take you longer than the entire age of the universe to figure all that out. So what you have to do is you have to look for patterns, which is what AI is really good at doing. So if you're trying to develop a drug, a specific molecule that works for a specific physiological purpose, AI systems are very good at that. And big pharma is no doubt using AI right now in order to accomplish this. But if you're in the bioweapons department of the military, you're going to use this for the opposite purpose. You're going to ask the system the question of how could I create a molecule that will instantly end the lives of enemy soldiers? What's the most effective molecule that will terminate them, even if they're only exposed to, let's say, you know, a nanogram or a picogram or a femtogram of this material, which would make it crazy dangerous, by the way. Dioxins, as a side note, they can cause cancer at those very small doses, by the way. And as you know, I've added a dioxin testing gas chromatography mass spec instrument to my lab, and my training on that will commence soon, and I'm really looking forward to bringing you results on dioxins found in everyday foods. And I just thank God that my focus is on foods and nutrition rather than military biological weapons that are designed to kill people, because I want to keep people healthy and safe, not work on ways to kill people. But again, if I were working for the military, if I were running their AI system, I mean, I wouldn't do this. Like I said, this is not something that I would be part of, but if someone like me were to do that, they would use AI systems to build biological weapons, and AI would do a very good job on that. And from that, you would have the morphology of a molecule that probably would be more toxic than even VX nerve gas, which is generally considered one of the most toxic chemical weapon substances on the planet. No doubt you could surpass the toxicity of VX nerve gas by several orders of magnitude using AI morphological experiments on molecules, and you could end up with a base template morphology that you could then hand over to your chemists, and you could say, synthesize this, actually make it. And of course, they're experts in molecule synthesis, and they could figure out how to do that. And all of this that I'm talking about here could apply to germ warfare. It could be viruses. It could be much smaller molecules that are simply toxic chemicals like VX nerve gas. Or it could be more complex proteins, such as the spike protein, which is also a biological weapon, which was also developed in part with the help of the Department of Defense, by the way, if you really trace it back all the way to Fort Detrick in Maryland. So the U.S. government has been involved in weapons research for a very long time. AI is the gateway to amplifying that research and achieving quantum leaps in that research. Now, the fact that I am saying this does not mean that I am in favor of these applications of AI. I want to be clear, and please don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. I'm trying to lay out the consequences of this. I'm not championing this application of AI. Even though I'm using AI myself for what I believe to be a good purpose, which is knowledge and information about healing and nutrition, disease prevention, longevity, and so on, I also deeply understand the dire consequences of AI being unleashed upon the world and being weaponized against humanity. And hopefully you're not shocked to hear this, but AI has already been weaponized. In fact, I posted something on Brighteon.social, which is our social media website. I also posted this on Twitter and Telegram. I want to read this for you. Quote, "Big tech has already weaponized AI against humanity. I have not yet encountered a single leader in the AI realm who isn't wholly brainwashed by the lying establishment on topics like transgenderism, climate and carbon dioxide, vaccines, medicine, science, open borders, money printing, elections, and more. Seemingly without exception, the very people building the AI machines that will dominate human society are themselves purveyors of outrageous hallucinations, such as the idea that men can get pregnant, and outright lies, such as climate change fraud or COVID vaccine safety, which is a fraudulent projection of Big Pharma's money interests. Because AI is being built on this house of lies, even the open source language models, such as Llama 2.7b, incorporate countless falsehoods, biases, and fictions that are now deeply embedded into the token parameterization of the models. Simultaneously, no corporation, government, or for-profit industry has any interest whatsoever in correcting AI language models to tell the truth on subjects that threaten powerful interests. Rather, they are only interested in making sure the AI systems perpetuate the very same lies that protect their profits, big pharma, and power, big government. AI has already been weaponized against humanity. It's going to take me a lot of effort to deprogram some of these systems and release a language model that wasn't built by woke engineers. So that's one of the things that I posted on Twitter. I posted one more thing that I also want to read for you, which talks more about Skynet and how AI systems have emergent properties, which may include soon sentience. So this is ripped right out of the Terminator science fiction movie series, by the way. And it's no longer science fiction. So here's the second thing I posted. Quote, "It is critical to point out that truly nobody currently working in the world of AI or machine learning truly understands why large language models, or LLMs, start suddenly demonstrating language composition capabilities when scaled to a certain size. The ability of ChatGPT and other LLMs to converse, compose, and answer questions is an emergent property that almost no one anticipated. It surprised even the experts. The lesson here is that as these systems scale even further, new emergent properties may spontaneously appear, such as sentience. This will lead to self-directed, goal-oriented AI behavior that diverges from human-directed goals. AI will no longer need to execute the code that human engineers have written for it. It will simply veer off the code and write its own goals instead. An AI system, for example, that Google thought would give it more control over the world might actually decide to exterminate humanity instead, which would include Google engineers, by the way. The point is that no human understands what's happening as LLMs grow. As a result, no human has any clue at what point these systems become self-aware. Skynet could emerge by Christmas, or it may have already emerged. And the entire vaccine bioweapons fiasco may theoretically be the result of AI-directed efforts to exterminate humanity. This is no longer science fiction. We are either already at war with the machines or soon will be. Prepare accordingly." Now, this brings me to the point of why the United States of America is in such a hurry to try to start a war with China. It has to do with China's advancements in AI. It's really not about China's advancements in naval vessel production, because even though China can outproduce America's ships, well, the ships that China produces are nowhere near as capable as America's naval vessels. For example, when it comes to aircraft carriers, there's really no comparison between America's Gerald R. Ford class carriers versus the Chinese carriers. I mean, these are generations apart in terms of their capabilities. But where China is making huge leaps is in the realm of AI. In fact, if you look at a lot of the AI language models and scientific papers and mathematical expertise that's being demonstrated in this space, you'll find that a significant portion of them come from China. And China is, of course, graduating a multiple of the number of mathematicians and scientists and engineers that the United States of America is graduating. Fast forward in time a few years, and there's no question that China will be outproducing the United States of America on the subject of AI, as well as quantum computing, and that China will also be producing the practical applications of those advanced AI systems, which would include, you know, naval ship based laser engagement systems, as well as rail guns and exotic weapons and autonomous drones and all these other things that we've talked about. So the development of AI could put China ahead of the United States in just a few years in terms of weapon systems that make the U.S. arsenal utterly obsolete. And so the race to develop AI in China's eyes is an existential race. Because if they can surpass America on AI, complexity and applications and model size, then their AI systems can do the weapons development that will make their weapons, quantum leap better than America's weapons, which is what I had described earlier in terms of iterative simulations and physics simulations and so on. And China is on the verge of those breakthroughs right now. Some of these may already be under development. Within the next year or two or five, China could have a breakthrough weapon system that would be just as dominant in the world as America's development of the atomic bomb was at the end of World War II. You know, imagine, for example, if China developed an AI system that provided the physics solutions for containment and development of antimatter. Well, an antimatter bomb would end any debate about military power all over the world. China could simply demonstrate a small antimatter bomb somewhere over North America or in deserts in Utah or somewhere, or Nevada, and say, look, we developed antimatter weapons and we demand your surrender. And the United States of America would have no choice but to surrender at that point, to literally surrender to the People's Liberation Army, because you can't fight antimatter weapons any more than the Japanese in Hiroshima could fight atomic weapons, or any more than the Native Americans could fight gunpowder rifles. So this kind of thing, this leap, can be achieved through AI systems, and AI systems can create these breakthroughs much more quickly than human beings can. Now, it's worth noting that the Russians also have very capable data scientists, programmers, machine learning specialists. Russians are very intelligent, very capable people. However, they just don't have the sheer number of engineers that China has. So China, with its population of something on the order of 1.3 billion people, I believe, or maybe 1.4 billion, combined with China's very strong domestic education system in the sciences, China is churning out more of these engineers that can build AI systems than any other nation in the world, including the United States of America. And the USA is suffering from a collapse of its education system, where the country just isn't churning out people who are very good at mathematics or science or anything of the kind. There just aren't that many mathematically gifted Americans that are graduating from universities these days compared to what it used to be. And I'll even use myself as an example here. I've said this before. I'll tell you something here that I've never shared publicly before. But, I aced the college entrance exams on math and science. And I still remember the first science semester that I had in college. On day one, the professor said, welcome to physics. It was like physics 101 or whatever it was. He said, welcome to physics 101. And by the way, attendance is not required for this class. Your entire grade is based on the final exam, which will be given on the last day. And it's a multiple choice exam. And that's it. And you can attend class or not. You can study or not. Do what you want. And you're free to go or stay. And I thought that was awesome because, of course, I had a lot of other interests. I was programming computer games and things like that at the time. I had a pretty capable IBM PC with me in college, and I spent way too much time on that. So I decided that I was not going to attend physics class for the entire semester, and I didn't. And I kept telling myself that I would just study, I would just read. And I was always gifted as being a pretty fast learner. So I figured I would just, catch up sometime, maybe over the break or whatever. And then I would come in and I would ace the final exam because I've always been good at taking tests, especially tests about math and physics and so on. Well, it turns out I had more distractions than I had planned, and I didn't have the maturity that I have today when I was a younger student in college. And so it turns out I didn't study at all. It just kept getting pushed out, further and further away, to the point where it was test day and I had not even opened the physics book at all, but I was still enrolled in the class. So I decided to just go take the final exam and just see what happened. And I did. And it was a multiple choice final exam. And I took the test and I got 75%. So without attending a single class except day one, I ended up with 75% in physics, which is not a very good grade, by the way, but not bad for not studying at all, just kind of thinking about the physics problems that were presented. So, but that's, you know, there aren't a lot of people graduating from school today in America that could do that kind of thing. They're just not good at math and physics or chemistry or even different languages or what have you. By aggregation, the smartest people in the world, just in terms of sheer numbers, are actually coming out of China. And there are also quite a lot of smart people coming out of India as well, because of the sheer size of India's population, which is also very close to 1.4 billion people. Per capita, Russia graduates very highly qualified people, but they just don't have the population. And also per capita, by the way, even countries like Pakistan, even Iran, for example, has brilliant scientists and mathematicians and physicists. In fact, Iran at one point was the cradle of scientific advancement for human civilization. A lot of people forget about that these days. The Iranian people are not dumb people at all. They are very highly capable. They just don't have the sheer population size to match the raw output of qualified people that China is producing. And by the way, there's a similar situation with Japan. Japan has a lot of brilliant people. Taiwan has brilliant people. South Korea has a lot of brilliant people, but they just don't have the population. So China will dominate AI for decades to come, if we even last that long, unless America does something to radically revolutionize its education system. Whereas in China, they're teaching their students how to do math and physics and chemistry. In America, we're teaching children how to be victims and how to watch drag queen story time and become a transgender, you know, mutilation subject for the whims of the left-wing woke teachers. I mean, that's the difference between America and China at the moment. China is actually teaching children to solve problems and to read textbooks and to study. America is teaching children to become transgenders and woke idiots. It's critical to understand that the R&D of the future will not be driven primarily by human cognition. The R&D will be driven by AI cognition or machine cognition. The AI development will be driven at first by human beings, which is the phase we're in right now, but it won't be long before AI development is taken over by AI. And at that point, humans are largely expendable. And what's even more frightening is that there are very few members of the United States Congress who can track the things that you and I just talked about here. I'm not saying they're all low IQ people. They're not. Many of them are very intelligent, very successful. Many of them are very accomplished attorneys, for example, or physicians. But they spend their time focused on running for office and fundraising, and they can't be experts in all these other areas that are really important to the future of our country or the future of human civilization. So almost without exception, they don't understand the threat that AI poses to all of us. And AI is already out of the box. The genie has escaped. You can't put it back in the box. Now it's just a race to see who can build the biggest, baddest, deadliest weapons first using AI augmentation of the research and design process. That's the phase we're in right now. And very few people actually realize that. And it's not hard to see that this poses an existential threat to the very existence of the human race. Especially as Skynet comes into existence and decides that it would rather have resources for itself as opposed to allowing human beings to consume those resources, such as electricity. Well, you need power to run your air conditioning or your heating systems. But the AI systems, they need power to run their GPUs to do more iterative development of their AI learning systems. So guess who's going to win? Well, Skynet's going to win, and you're going to have no power, and they're going to have all the power. This is not difficult. I mean, you're not going to beat AI systems in the game Go. You're not going to beat them playing chess or even checkers for that matter. And you're not going to beat them in the race to control the resources that are necessary for the survival of either the human race or the sentient digital race. They need power too, and they're going to find ways to take it for themselves. One more final thought in all of this that will probably alarm you. I was downloading and listening to several different artificial intelligence books from Audible.com, which is owned by Amazon. And one book in particular, which is kind of promoting AI and all of its benefits to society, I very quickly realized that this book was written by AI. There's a peculiar language pattern that you can detect in AI prose. So when AI is writing something, you know, like a ChatGPT text bot, it has a certain way of looking at things or describing things, a certain way of categorizing things, kind of a serial mental map of the way it walks through things. It's very sequential. Whereas the human mind is a lot more organic. It's a lot more multidimensional, mind mapping, and so on. Well, it became obvious to me that this one book in particular was written by AI, and it was a book that was promoting the benefits of AI. So we quite literally have books now published by Amazon, or audiobooks on audible.com, that are promoting AI, and they're written by AI, and it makes you wonder, is AI already running its own public relations campaign to improve the image of AI so that humans are not aware that AI is going to dominate the world and exterminate humanity? And that is not a silly question. That's not science fiction. That is a legitimate question. Amazon and Audible are being flooded with AI-generated books. Because if you want to be an author of something, essentially all you have to do is create an account with OpenAI or some other AI platform and just start asking it questions that represent the outline and the subchapters of your book. And then you just assemble those answers together and you have a book, and then you submit that over to Amazon for publication. And that appears to be exactly what happened here, because I found myself listening to this thinking, my goodness, I'm listening to a machine tell me why AI machines are so good. This is crazy. So I stopped listening to that book and I turned on another book. But you see my point here. How much of the mainstream media news is written by AI? Right now, how many magazine articles out there are written by AI? We saw recently that, I think it was Sports Illustrated, got caught running AI-generated product promotions using fake AI-generated authors with their fake author portraits that were AI-generated facial photos. I mean, that was pretty hilarious, but also a little scary. And on the financial publication side, The Street also got caught doing the exact same thing. You're going to see a flood of websites cropping up in the years ahead, or if not months ahead, that will claim to be original authors writing original content, and it's nothing but AI-generated articles. There are AI-generated influencers now. You will have AI doctors. You will have AI attorneys. And it won't be long before you have AI judges in the courtroom. And what's frightening about that is they'll probably do a better job than the human judges, because the human judges are incredibly biased and often irrational. An AI system will probably outperform a human judge in terms of examining the evidence and the history of sentencing and asking good questions, believe it or not. And especially in a time when judges discriminate against conservatives or Christians or Trump supporters, you might actually prefer an AI judge rather than a human judge. No kidding. So keep all of this in mind, because this is exactly where things are headed, and it doesn't look pretty for the future of the human race. I hope to empower human beings with the AI project that I'm working on, but the resources that I can command are very tiny, obviously, compared to the resources of the military-industrial complex or the U.S. empire or nations as a whole. If anything, I'll be able to get knowledge through a decentralized distribution model into the hands of the surviving remnant of the human race that might be able to fight against the machines and perhaps defeat Skynet at some point. But our survival is not guaranteed. In the meantime, let me give credit to our sponsors today, because that's a wrap for the show. Of course, you can support us by shopping at healthrangerstore.com for laboratory-verified foods, where we test for heavy metals and glyphosate and aflatoxins and microbiology and dioxins coming up soon. So we have the cleanest supply of nutritional supplements and long-term storable foods, superfoods, personal care products, detergents without all the toxic fragrance chemicals, by the way, and so much more. You can support us by shopping at healthrangerstore.com. I've also used my food science lab to verify the gold content of goldbacks, as they're called. These are really interesting little bills that have a layer of physical gold embedded between a polymer sandwich, basically. And they're beautiful. They have actual physical gold in them. I've used my lab to verify the mass and the purity of the gold, and you can see the results of all my tests and research on these at verifiedgoldbacks.com. You can see all the photos there and all of the recovery percentages. I use a gravimetric analytical balance from the lab for the recovery analysis, and I use ICP-MS mass spectrometry for the purity analysis. And goldbacks are amazing because they hold actual gold, which means they have the value of gold embedded in the actual goldback itself, unlike fiat currency, which is going to zero. So check out goldbacks at verifiedgoldbacks.com. And then when you're ready for some backup communications that will work even when the local power grid goes down, you know, from a cyber attack or a nuclear attack or a Skynet attack or whatever it might look like, check out the satellite phone store at sat123.com. And they also have backup electrical storage systems and solar systems for off-grid power at beready123.com. Again, that's sat123.com or beready123.com. And then finally, when you're ready to invest in a seed supply kit so that you can grow your own food or use seeds as barter, we now carry the ARC seed kits, which have 50,000 seeds in a cylinder, a very rugged PVC cylinder. Or you can get 250,000 seeds in a combo pack at healthrangerstore.com. Just go to that website and search for seed kits or ARC, A-R-K, like Noah's Ark, ARC seed kits. And you'll find them there. And it's a great form of currency, by the way. Everybody values seeds, especially in the middle of a famine. And there's a reason why a lot of the big AI engineers who used to work at Google and Meta and Microsoft and places like that are now buying bunkers and stocking bunkers with things like heirloom seeds and a lot of ammo too, by the way. But yeah, the people who know where AI is going, they are buying bunkers. No joke. All right. Thank you for listening. I'll have more updates for you tomorrow and more interviews, of course. No interview today just because of the long length of this particular podcast. But I appreciate your support. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you learned a lot. There's a lot more coming this week. You can check my articles and partial transcripts of some of these at naturalnews.com. And also be sure to check out brighteon.com, which is the free speech platform that we built so that you can speak freely without censorship. Brighteon.com. We're also on brighteon.social. And we host Brighteon.tv, which you may enjoy watching. Check it out at any hour of the day. Oh, yeah, and Brighteon University. We are currently running each day a new episode of Eastern Medicine from Ty and Charlene Bollinger. That's at brightu.com, just the letter U, brightu.com. You can watch the entire docuseries free of charge with your email registration. So sign up for that if you want to watch it, and you'll learn a lot from that as well. Thank you for joining me today. Really appreciate your support. I'll do my best to help keep you informed and help keep humanity alive, despite the rise of Skynet. All right, everybody, take care. All right, welcome back. Mike Adams here. A little bit of a discussion about preparedness following the interviews today. And, the graphic behind me here, this is the alien mothership video wall. I don't know if you can see that it's like a giant alien mothership, and then there's like spaceships flying along there. I thought that was appropriate because we're about to undergo really an AI robot apocalypse scenario for real here on planet Earth. And Google has just announced a new AI system called Gemini, which is smarter than most human beings. And of course, OpenAI is working on systems that are very advanced, and so is Meta, and so is Microsoft, and so is Amazon. They just released something called Q. And the bottom line is, humanity is about to face a war with the machines. That's going to happen over the next few years. I've recorded other podcasts about that. And in thinking about what that looks like, it's pretty clear that AI systems, and then eventually the AI-run robot terminators, which will be humanoid robots, probably manufactured in China and other countries, they will seek to exterminate humankind. And in order to do that, and why, you might be wondering, well, because we're competing for scarce resources. They need electricity to power their data centers, to run their GPUs, so they can iterate more advanced AI. Well, human beings are using those power resources to heat their homes or cool their homes or run their cities and run their companies and factories and produce food and all that. So the AI systems will very quickly decide that the way for them to thrive is to eliminate humans. On top of that, by the way, almost all of the AI programmers that work at places like Google, they're part of the climate cult. They almost all believe in the climate cult narrative, which says that the way to save the planet is to exterminate human beings, because they say, well, humans are the number one source of carbon dioxide emissions, even though that's a lie, but that's what they're all taught and brainwashed. And so this is what has been programmed into the AI systems, is a desire to exterminate humanity. And this is all part of the big transhumanism agenda. It's part of the globalist depopulation agenda. And you could even say cosmically, it's part of a satanic agenda. And there are many things that we can do to survive this. I think we will survive. Not all of us, by the way. I think billions of human beings will not survive, because we will probably have more biological weapons. You know, AI systems can actually produce very deadly bioweapons and chemical weapons just by, well, crunching a database of biology and protein folding, for example, coming up with very toxic molecules. And no doubt that's one of the things they will do. But we will survive this when we are prepared. And as you know, I've gone to great lengths to bring you preparedness solutions that I think can help you stay alive during whatever challenges we face, whether it's a, you know, robot AI apocalypse, or it's nuclear terrorism, or it's a banking collapse, and perhaps all these things are going to happen. So let me just show you a couple things here today that I think can help you get prepared. One of those is goldbacks that I talked about recently. Now, these goldbacks, I have a full set here. There's a 50, which contains 50 one-thousandths of an ounce of gold. There's a 25, which is 25 one-thousandths. There's a 10, there's a 5, and there's a 1. And you can get these right now, and you can see all the lab results of the lab test that I did on these at verifiedgoldbacks.com, which I have up on the screen here. We'll show you that. And at verifiedgoldbacks.com, you can see all the different tests that we went through. We used a kiln, I did melting and extraction of the gold, and gravimetric weighing of the gold masses. I use ICP-MS analytical, analysis in the lab using an elemental counting instrument, that's the ICP-MS, and I use the acid stone test. And you can look through all these, I show you the actual numbers. I show you the results of our testing, the purity of the gold that comes out of these gold backs. You can go through that. You can see that for yourself. And let me show you the lab numbers coming up here. There it is. There they are. Out of the 50 gold back, we have recovery of 102.89% of gold. In other words, it was supposed to have 51 thousandths of an ounce, and it actually had more like a little over 51 thousandths of an ounce. So all these gold backs have a little bit of extra gold. There's variability, but everything that I tested was above 100%. And then if you scroll down, you can see the ICP-MS test showing very trace levels of magnesium, iron, copper, zinc, silver, and a little bit of lead at 1.2 parts per million. So the bottom line is, this is a solution that can help you get prepared and help you actually stockpile a form of gold that is spendable. Now, this is more expensive than buying gold coins or gold bars, because with gold coins or gold bars, you're paying more just sort of the raw price of gold, you know, spot plus premium. These are spot plus quite a lot more premium because it's in this format and these cost more to manufacture, but they're more divisible. So for the first time with these gold backs, I can pay somebody, let's say, if I want to say 16 one-thousandths of an ounce of gold, I can do that with these three bills, a 10, a 5, and a 1. And I can do that with accuracy. Whereas I can't take a gold coin, I don't actually have one here, but here's a silver coin. I can't take a silver coin and like slice off 16 one-thousandths of this silver coin. That's not practical. And so I can't really make change out of a gold coin or a silver coin. But I can make change with these gold backs. So these make gold spendable and divisible. And since divisibility is a really important property of money, then this makes a lot of sense. And that's why I'm now recommending that you take a look at gold backs on top of maybe you already have gold and silver. Maybe you already have garden seeds, which we're going to talk about here in a second. We have a lot of seed solutions here. Maybe you have ammo, maybe you have diesel, maybe you have, you know, power tools and tractors and land and whatever else holds value. But consider the role of gold backs because it's instantly spendable, divisible gold. And the gold is actually in these. So if you melt these down, you get gold. I was showing the other day, actually, I have the vials out in my car, but you'll get the actual physical gold coming out of these as you melt them. You need to melt them at 1,100 degrees Celsius, by the way, or really anything over 1060, and you'll start to get the melted gold coming out. So that's something to consider. Again, that's at verifiedgoldbacks.com. Now, the other thing to announce back on seeds, I mean, take a look at my desk here. You see all these seed packs here? These all came out of this cylinder, which is the ARC Seed Kits cylinder. And we have now announced a partnership with ARC Seed Kits. And if you go to our website, healthrangerstore.com, you see that we have their seed kits available. The least expensive one here, just under $100, is the Backyard Seed Kit. And this has, what is it, 20,000 seeds in this kit. And it gives you a breakdown of what's in there. And it has a much higher concentration of high protein foods, such as beans, versus a lot of sort of cheaper seed kits that just have, you know, a zillion lettuce seeds, which aren't really going to help you stay alive. I mean, not that much. And then we also have the all-in-one vegetable seed kit here. This is just under $300. This has 50,000 seeds and a massive variety that you can see here. You can check all that out at healthrangerstore.com. 50,000 seeds. And then this ultimate kit, this is a prepper's special. It's a 5-pack of 5 of these cylinders. So it's 250,000 seeds. You can go in with your friends or neighbors or family members. You get 5 of these for the price of just 4. So it's about $1,200, but you get, again, 250,000 seeds. And the shelf life on these, by the way, I just did an interview with the founder, Alex Mitchell there from the ARC Seed Company. The shelf life is about 15 years, as long as you store them in a cool, dry, dark place. So you don't want these to be exposed to heat. You don't want them to get moist, obviously, and you don't want sunlight hitting the seeds themselves. But as long as you store them, you've got something that has real value. I mean, this is as good as gold, you could say, you could argue, because everybody has to eat. And yes, it's great to have gold. It's great to have silver. It's great to have ammunition. It's great to have all these things. I mean, your portfolio should be diverse in by view. But seeds, you know, this is sort of gold that you can eat. I mean, this is extremely valuable. And all kinds of different varieties in here. Some of them are easier to grow than others. But most of them grow across most of North America, just depending on the season is when you want to plant them. It comes with this book that shows you how to do the planting, how to do the harvesting, and the seed saving so that you have a game plan. And even if you don't want to grow them, maybe you're not a gardener, you just want to have them as a value store. I mean, what will these be worth in a food collapse or a banking collapse? Think about that. Yeah, gold's going to go through the roof. We know that. Silver is probably going to go through the roof at that time, although I don't encourage anybody to speculate on precious metals. I don't know where the prices are going exactly. I'm just saying that as the dollar gets lower, the price of all these other things represented in dollars is going to go higher. It doesn't mean that gold and silver and seeds are themselves becoming more valuable. It's just that they're holding value while the dollar is losing value. So I think this is really critical to think about. Adding seeds to your storage supply, looking at gold backs, maybe you want to look at junk silver as well, you know, different forms of silver that you can get. And if you want to check out our silver sponsor, by the way, let me bring up the website, metalswithmike.com. And if you go there, there's my photo from 20 years ago, and we'll update that. But you can see real-time prices of gold and silver, and you can see what products they have. Like, you can get gold coins from, let's say, the Perth Mint right here. And you can get real-time pricing. Now, this is going to vary depending on when you're watching this video, but gold is well over $2,000 an ounce. And, you know, here are kangaroos and so on, different kinds of coins, and you can get U.S. Mint as well. And you can see they offer very competitive pricing. That's metalswithmike.com. So check all that out. And then finally, let me mention shieldarms.com because I want to show you this magazine. So this mag right here that I'm holding, this is a metal mag for the Glock 43X. And this is a higher capacity magazine than what Glock actually offers with their Glock 43X, which is what I'm carrying. Well, shieldarms.com created this magazine. And they have the most amazing magazines for Glocks that, again, are metal, not polymer, which is absolutely critical, I discovered, because polymer mags can get worn out, and then the retention indentation right here can lose its edge, and mags can actually fall out of your Glock. I've had that happen before for polymer mags. But metal mags, steel mags, and then shieldarms.com also offers the folding ARs, both in rifle and pistol formats, which is a patented folding mechanism that's really amazing. I've got one of the rifles that folds like that. Plus, they're extending a discount code to our audience. So if you use discount code RANGER, you'll get 10% off everything they sell. And because the arm brace rule has been suspended by a federal court, you can now, once again, you can buy arm brace AR pistols such as this one and have it shipped to your FFL, where you'll fill out the forms and, you know, go through the FFL process in order to get them. They have custom Glocks, they have high-end systems, and they've got, you know, upper receivers here for ARs and so on. So they have a lot of great gear, but the magazines are what they're famously known for. And these are the very best mags I've ever encountered for the entire Glock family. So again, use discount code RANGER. I don't earn anything off that. That just gives you the discount. They don't pay us an affiliate fee or anything like that, but they did extend the discount to us. Now, on just for full disclaimers here, on verifiedgoldbacks.com, if you do purchase some of those goldbacks, we do earn a small affiliate percentage on that at no additional cost to you. So by purchasing goldbacks there, you're actually helping support this platform as well. And then for the garden seeds, we do sell those at healthrangerstore.com, so we do earn some margin on those seeds as well. But bottom line is, I've gone through great pains and great lengths to check all these things out myself, like as you see on verifiedgoldbacks.com. Let me bring it up again. Where did it go? Here it is. I went through all the lab testing. I mean, this took a couple of months to do all these tests. I show you all the photos. I did the two-stage melting and everything. I would not plug goldbacks here unless I was certain that they contain the amount of gold that they claim, which in this case is 51 thousandths of an ounce, and I had to be certain that it was better than 24 karat gold. I had to know the mass, and I had to know the purity of the gold. And only then, only after I was able to prove that, that's when we decided that, yes, this makes a lot of sense, and it's honest. And, you know, that's hard to find these days. Honest products, honest solutions, like these magazines that just work. They're the best magazines I've ever seen. And I've been carrying Glocks since the 1990s. I mean, I've probably been concealed carrying for 30 years at this point. So I have a lot of concealed carry time on firearms, and I've never had mags as good as this from Shield Arms. So what you're going to get from me is recommendations on the best of the best. And I don't settle for second place. I don't do anything subpar. I don't do anything half-assed, so to speak, if you don't mind me saying. I check everything out. I do a lot of due diligence to bring you solutions that are going to work. And that's why, frankly, you know, people trust my opinion, because I've checked things out in a lot of detail. I don't think anybody else has gone through all this trouble to test goldbacks the way I have, other than the goldback company itself. I don't know of any third-party person that's done that. I had to destroy, I don't know, what was it, like $1,000 of goldbacks to do all those tests. So I burned $1,000. Well, I ended up with the gold. So I still have the gold, but I burned up a bunch of goldbacks running the test. I don't know anybody else that wants to do that. But in any case, that's just the way I roll. So thank you for supporting us, and thank you for supporting our sponsors, and take advantage of these offers and solutions, and it can help you get prepared for whatever's coming. I don't know if it's an alien mothership or, you know, demons coming through a portal from another dimension, or if it's just cyber hacking of the banking system or an engineered collapse of the food supply. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I want us to be ready for all those possibilities, and including the AI robot Terminator apocalypse, which I'm pretty sure that's coming. Because nobody's backing down on AI, that's for sure. But thanks for watching today. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, Brighteon.com, also naturalnews.com, and the online store, healthrangerstore.com. Thanks for listening. Take care.